Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today I have Gavin O'Meara with me in the studio. Gavin is the founder and chief executive of a publication called fecareers.co.uk. And so as it sounds, it is an online publication. It has 27,000 readers per month. It also has 600,000 impressions per month. It also has a job board associated with it of 14,000 users per month. 19,000 followers on Twitter. So some pretty hefty stats when you think that Gavin has actually not worked in traditionally in the newspaper world. What he's done is he's set this up after quite a lot of work experience in and around the digital world instead. And I think when you listen to Gavin's story, what is going to be very interesting is for you to see, as I did, that you don't need to have a traditional media background to be your own media influencer. But we're going to start, Gavin, by hearing from you your journey from when you were at school to where you are now. So could you give us a little rundown?
Yeah, sure. Hi, Angela. At school, like many people out there, I probably didn't do as great as what I could have done in my what is now a year 11, then a fifth year. I actually failed all of my GCSEs. I had to actually go physically back into what would be now a year 11 and retake them again.
And you went to a good school, didn't you?
I went to a good school.
Where was that?
It was Enfield in North London. I went to Enfield Grammar. And it was a little bit of a humbling experience to have to go back and retake your GCSEs. You know, it was called the Retake Boys, for example.
How many of you were there had to do that?
I think there's about 10 to 15 of us. Another one of my very close friends had to as well. In doing that, I found this whole new GCSE I never heard of before, because I had to do all these different things as well as retaking my stuff. And it was media. And we had a two-year course, which effectively we did in about 6 months. I got an A. I didn't get A in anything before.
So isn't that interesting that through adversity, if you like, your first bit of adversity by failing your exams, you stumbled across something that otherwise you may not have done.
Never heard of it before. Didn't know what media was.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, why you think you failed and what sort of student you were at school.
I probably messed around a bit more than what I could have done, really. If I was looking back at 16-year-old Gavin to now, I'd just say this knuckle down and don't go out so much. There's all sorts of reasons, really. I'm sure there's many listeners out there that are probably going through the same thing. But with my retakes, it was very different. I decided it wasn't a good idea to be going out until I'd done my work. And I decided it wasn't a good idea to be going out every single night when I could.
And what was your family influence like?
I had a very positive family influence. At the same time, we did have a little bit of, you know, social issues around in the area. There was also quite a lot of unemployment in our locality as well. But I was incredibly lucky. I had, you know, great support from my family to just say, you know, you could go for it. I had family members that tell me when I was very, very young, what do you want to be? You could be an astronaut if you wanted to. You could go for it and you can do it. And I think that really, really helps. So, you know, you can go for it. You just need to have the right mindset to do that. So I had to retake my GCSEs, found media, really loved it. I didn't know you could do anything from, yeah, write news articles, write scripts, you know, make adverts, take photographs. And that was a thing. It was awesome. I loved it.
And this was at the same time as your GCSE retakes?
Exactly the same time.
So what happened after that?
I then went into doing A-levels. I was recommended not to go and do A-levels, but I decided it would be a good idea. And I went through the A-level route and a bit more sort of, I did sociology, English, and a science. I did biology. And I then went into university. I told pretty people like me, don't go to university. And I did media with cultural studies. And I enjoyed elements of it. There was other elements that I didn't. I really enjoyed like script writing. I really enjoyed looking at news, breaking down what is news and things like what is a genre, which is, if you have a Western or if you have a horror, and what are the reasons why they're put out at certain times. Really, really made me look at news, look at movies, look at TV shows in a different way. And I like that. That was really good.
Before we go into a bit more detail of your career from after you left university, can you tell us a little bit about the work experience that you did whilst you were at school?
Yeah, so my first job actually was sending golf balls to golfers when I was, I can't believe, like 7 or 8. And that was really quite interesting. I learned a lot. So I learned about how to package things, just to go home, wash the golf balls, sell them to people because I could get more money for clean balls than I would do with muddy balls, and learned how to put things into packages and solutions for people, learned how to speak to people. And then I at school, I had work experience in a retail environment, in a department store, and I was really lucky to get taken on for that. I mean, there's only 2 people that I knew of that got offered a job in that. I stayed there for a long time. I really enjoyed the role. I felt very lucky to get it, And that was really helpful with different elements, because I worked all around this large department store. So I worked, front-facing, selling to people, stock-taking, out the back. I could do anything with a sack truck now. I can move anything. I'm like a human ant.
And one would think that has nothing to do with media, but presumably you learned some things that have stood you in good stead. What sorts of things would they be?
Anything from the way you display and, visual merchandising. So the way you display, if you go into a department store, you see like shirts and nice clothes displayed in nice ways, and it's got a price attached to it. You go into other places, it looks like a jumble sale. You don't want to necessarily buy it.
How's that helped you in what you do now?
How we package things, how we make things look, how we match our audience needs. So like our department stores looking to attract people of a certain economic disposal, and they wanted things displayed in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And that's been really, really helpful for me to look how we package things to match our audience needs.
Whilst you were at university, you were very keen on what you were studying. You were producing your own content as well, more than content, because you wrote a film script and you wrote a number of plays and things like that. But you obviously were compelled to sort of get out there and earn some money, and you had these sales skills. So that led you to your first job. So tell us a bit more about that.
Yes, my first job out of uni, I didn't want to go back into retail. I actually sort of had a career. So I've done it from like 15 through to 22 of working in retail. It's a career in its own right, really. And I wanted to look at something new. I fell into recruitment. I looked at recruitment, what it was as a model of people. You match someone who's looking for a job into someone who's a client. And I got into that. I become a trainee recruiter, set up my own department. But I got really into digital recruitment. Job advertising sites, job boards were very, very new when I first come in. And it was this whole new, amazing world of change, what was happening. And I got really excited about what it meant, because it's advertising, but it's also got content to it. It's writing things in a way that are compelling to people. All that writing side of me that came out before was different, but I really liked it. What was it that sort of appealed to people? How can you make someone think, yes, that's me, I want to apply
for
this?
So you were writing up job ads and putting them online, and that was attracting all sorts of applicants for these jobs.
Exactly.
That you could then put forward to your client as a recruiter.
Exactly.
So I know you did that for a number of years, and then tell us what happened.
I then went into, from out of agency style recruitment, into executive search. Executive search, sometimes called headhunters. It's like the special forces of the recruitment world. I got a taste for it from one guy I worked with, and I was really excited, and it was like the exciting, sexy side of recruitment. I really got into that. I really enjoyed it. I really liked setting up new markets. I really liked, again, you got to pitch to people. You got to understand what makes people tick. You got to understand how to be able to hit those hot buttons of people to make them want to apply for a role. Again, writing, pitching, selling. And then the company I was with was actually the largest executive search recruitment provider in the world. And they set up a job board, which was going okay. It was a very, very good platform, but they were about to go into partnership with a rival executive search firm that also owned a job board, and that actually looked much more attractive. And they decided to go down that route, and I was screaming, no, let's use our own board, just don't go that way. And it just really stirred this whole sort of interest in digital recruitment. It was this emerging area where, like, you know, new terms like e-business, e-commerce were coming from nowhere, and it just seemed really exciting. And that then pushed me to go into my own, set up my own executive search firm, then to set up my own agency. I worked with a number of clients who just kept giving us more and more and more work, which was great, but we couldn't fulfill it with the staff. We couldn't get staff quick enough. So we decided to set up our own digital recruitment offering to be able to fulfill those roles. And then we tacked on a new site onto the side, because people only look for a job when they're looking for a job.
So when you say we, was that you by this time? Did you have a team?
I had a small team, and it was mainly, you know, being the chief executive of the business.
Yeah.
You know, you consult your team, you know.
So you got to a point where you were a digital recruiter in a way. So you'd replicated what you'd seen and worked really effectively.
Yep.
And you had created this job board, as it were.
Yep.
So you'd moved from traditional recruitment to more digital recruitment. To produce or to create a job board seems a massive undertaking. How did you go about that?
It was a massive undertaking. We did it in a niche. So a niche is a specialist area in an industry. And we set it up in a very, very distinctly in a niche. And we also tacked on a new sort of content site to it, which is very niche again for the sector we worked in.
And that's quite different, isn't it? So you didn't stop at just doing a job board, which was advertising vacancies. You decided you were going to add news to this job board relating to the sector that you're advertising for. That sounds like it was quite a pivotal moment for you to do that.
Yeah, hugely pivotal. I mean, people are only looking for a job whilst they're, you know, they've got a need. And the whole idea was that, how can we keep this relationship alive? How can we provide something which is useful? How can we provide something which is good for long term? So as we keep that relationship, not just whilst they're looking for a job, but whilst they're in their role, and how can we keep that, maintain that going? What do we need to do? What do we need to give, which is interesting? What fulfills their need?
And that's how you arrived at the idea of, okay, well, let's give them a news feed about their industry, and then they'll keep coming back and reading the content, even when they're not looking for a job.
Exactly. And then that sort of grew into being, not just being a feed, but we then started to create our own content. We started to interview people, started to attend conferences, because if you went to a conference, there was a pool of experts there, and you could then sort of go from there and create content. And, you know, this was 14 years ago, and online, you know, digital news. I had people ask at the time, why have we put our jobs online? Why have we go online to look at news? And it's like, where's the future? And it's, you can access it in lots of different ways. One day you've got to look on, you know, a phone that's in your pockets at the time, they're like bricks. And, you know, you better look and see, like, instantly have updates as to what's happening.
And it doesn't sound like it now, because it's pretty normal. But 14 years ago, that would have been very, very innovative and forward thinking. And so where you are now is a thriving online industry publication with a job board attached. And you've got a huge number of readers. Tell us a little bit about the readership that you have.
Yeah, readership. We split our numbers because news, they're looking at content. So we have about 27,000 unique visitors a month, which is pretty good for a niche segment. On our job board, we have about 14,000. But combined across the two for, like, impressions, we have 600,000 plus on FE News. We have 1.2 to 1.4 million impressions on FE Careers, and that's every month.
That's fantastic. Give us an idea of a typical day or week for you then, Gavin, running this business and this job board.
Yeah, sure. So a lot of it is pre-planning. You have to plan, you know, far ahead. So if there's a certain segment or news going to be coming out, so like this week, for example, I had to read on Monday 131 pages of a report that came out from government, and had to read that quick because we had to be fast to get the content out.
So time is very much of the essence with an online publication. You can't be leaving it sort of for a week.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, you've got to be, you know, there's times when you're reactive and there's times when you can be very, very, very proactive. So the more proactive you are, the more you can have planned, the more you've got an idea of content themes. The more you can brief different people as to what content you would like or responses you would like. So if we know a report's coming out, we ask people, can you give us a comment about this report's coming out tomorrow? It should be coming out at X time. We're going to be going live at Y. Can you provide us with a response?
So you have a number of content producers as well as networks that you can go to get comments and things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we have people that generate content for us. We write our own content. We shoot video, edit video. We do podcasts and, and editing up audio, scheduling things in for a week, 2 weeks' time. Yeah, responding to bits of government policy that are coming out. It's really exciting. It's always changing. You know, you could be one week, you could be at a conference in Birmingham. There's been other times I've been in Calgary in Canada. And, you have this real realization you could be anywhere doing this job. You can be filming some really interesting people and editing on site.
Do a lot of work at conferences, don't you, as well?
Yes.
So tell us a bit about the conference work that you might do.
Conference work, we started off doing stuff where we'd film people's speeches, but we found that people found that a bit boring. So you adapt to people's needs. People don't want to see a 30-minute speech. They want to see 3 minutes, And we film people either before they go on stage or after on stage. And these are normally people quite influential in our sector. And the average Joe doesn't get to normally speak to this person. So a lot of the time we could ask, what questions would you want to ask? So when I met Jeremy Corbyn, I asked on social media, if I had a chance to meet Jeremy Corbyn, what questions would you like me to ask? I'd like 15,000 people read it. I'd like 6 pages of questions. The guy saw me with like a whole pad of questions and I had a few minutes. So you can condense that down. And that's what's really exciting about the job, is you can help our sector to better have the content they want, the answers to questions they'd like to hear, and you can put that in a digital format, which is accessible to everyone.
And in terms of your sales skills, you still use those, don't you, when you're talking to sponsors and things like that?
Yeah, I mean, my role is a bit sort of all-encompassing, really. So it's everything from like managing content to gaining content to you're paying the bills, so the advertisers pay the bills. And we've got some great advertisers, been with us for a really, really long time. I think my longest advertiser has been 14 years with us without a break, which is like unheard of. I've, a dozen plus that have been with us for like a decade without a break. But you can't just, sit on your laurels. You've got to deliver what they want. They've got certain targets and certain things they want to do. So it's talking to them, understand what they want, packaging things up in a way which is good for them and matches their brand needs. And this is the old media part of me coming on. Where's their audience? What do they want to do? How can we match what they're looking for? And it's this sort of keep thinking like that, really, and how we can sort of develop new solutions, but at the same time, fulfill their needs.
What I think is really interesting is yet again, we've got an example here where you've pulled together things that you love and enjoy. So the media side and the writing with skills that you've acquired along the way, so the sales, the retail, the client interaction, the negotiation, and brought those together to form a really successful career. And that's what we see time and time again. When people find a way of channeling what they love and what they're good at, that's when they're really successful. You've mentioned some of the great things about doing this. You like the flexibility. Tell us some other things that you enjoy about this role.
You're sitting on the cutting edge of what media is. So, if you look at paper-based publications, they're scratching their head thinking that the digital world is such a mystery to them, and you're doing the cutting edge things. You're always looking at new social media platforms or new ways to engage your audience. I love that part about my role. I love packaging new solutions for people. I really quite enjoy it when you've sort of invented a package. 2 years later, someone says, I want X, Y, and Z. And you've named that, you've created that. And that's, I find that quite good fun. You don't need to tell them that you've created that. I find that really, really exciting. I can travel the world with my role. I was in Canada. I've been all around the country. I really enjoyed getting to Canada. The family tagged along with us for that one and had a great time. And I was working, but I'm driving from the Rockies into Calgary. And it's our summit off a movie, and I'm then having to film people and then come back and edit. But wow, I'm in the Rockies. Yeah, working.
Absolutely.
This is amazing.
And I know you actually run this business primarily from Exeter. And yet, that's one of the beautiful things about having a digital business, isn't it? That you can actually run that from anywhere, sitting in your pyjamas if you want.
Yeah, I try to get out in pyjamas when I can. but it's, I know many people that literally do run it from, similar style business from their pyjamas. I really don't want to. But you could be anywhere.
T- Tell us a little bit about the things that maybe are more of a challenge that you don't like. Are there any areas that you're not so keen on?
Yeah, I mean, with all roles, there's a challenge. And there's things about the role which, you know, you're not going to like coming back from, you know, a different, hard-to-reach area of the country in the snow when the kids are calling you up telling you to miss you is always hard for any parent. People replicating what you do is just the nature of the beast. But if you're an innovator, you're going to be copied. It's flattering and all, but, you know, flattery can get a bit frustrating after a bit, you know. Yeah, but on the whole, my job's great.
You're just loving it. That's fantastic to hear. So what sorts of things could this lead to? I mean, do you see yourself ultimately, you know, rewriting that film script or anything like that?
I think it's midlife. I'm middle age now, so my midlife crisis.
You're
probably
not, by the way, I have to say. But anyway, carry on.
I'm going to be, this person, I'm thinking about rewriting a script that I've done. But with my role, I could literally do anything. Digital is in everything from retail to transport to logistics to finance to anything. You could be doing anything for anyone. And my skills are very, very unique. You know, what I do is just like, you know, a mystery to people. We have a profitable digital business, which multi-billion pound corporations are still trying to work out what to do. But at the same time, if you look at organisations out there that are worth multi-billion, you know, those skills are very much in demand. But I don't think you should be going into it thinking you're going to become a billionaire. I think you should be going into this type of industry because you love it. Because you want to make a positive difference.
And actually, when you do love something and you've got the scope of the internet, for goodness sake, just think of the reach that you've potentially got with people. And so if you're putting out amazingly valuable content to that huge audience, ultimately you could become a billionaire anyway, even if you didn't want to, you know, because you're loving what you're doing and you have this amazing platform.
Yeah, someone very wise said to me once, if you love what you do, you never work in another day again. Yeah. And I really like what I do. And there's times when you think, oh, not every day is brilliant, you know, you think, oh, seriously, this is going wrong, that's going wrong. But on the whole, I've got like this amazing dream job, which I can't even
That's why you always look so happy when I see you, Gavin. So for individuals that are listening, and I'm sure there are lots now that are very inspired by what you said, how would you suggest that they get started if they wanted to follow in your footsteps in this sort of area?
There's so many different ways, you know. For young people, often use a term like digital net natives. I've had apprentices that have worked with me before and they can instantly edit video. Technically, they're very, very, very competent. And I think a number of you guys out there are going to be incredibly competent online. The traditional route to get into content writing would be to try to go for an internship at a newspaper or whatever. You can go down that route, but if you're looking to go down the digital route, just think and write or video log about stuff you love.
Right.
So as a parent, I don't think it's very interesting looking at people play computer games. But YouTube says otherwise. You know, like some of the largest channels out there are people messing around, having good fun. Yeah. What a way to earn a living. Or what a way to earn a living through, you know, showing people how to play a computer game. I now live in Devon. I used to work in we had an office in the woods and it was quite, you know, sort of lumberjacky. But I'm really into splitting wood now. It's a really good workout. There's some YouTube videos out there of people splitting wood and stacking wood, and they have like millions of views.
It's amazing, isn't it, what people are interested in. So if someone's sitting there and thinking, well, I love the sound of getting into this industry as a career, but I don't really know very much about anything yet, I'm not an expert, what you're saying is think about what you really enjoy. And it could be anything from video games to splitting wood to, I don't know, makeup, hair, fashion, anything that's, you know, pretty remote. There's an opportunity to start to vlog, blog, and create your own content.
There's nothing better than just starting. Some of these things which you think, oh, how do I start? Just do the first step. And then you've started the journey and you're moving along. I judged a film competition the other day, and there was a guy who shot it all on his phone. It was on an iPhone. He edited it off of free, free software. He was a finalist and it was good, you know, and he just used stuff which many of you guys out there have got and have probably got in your pocket or in your bag right now, and just go for it. And you know, the worst thing you can do is not try.
Go
for it and you can do it.
That's fantastic. So I think that's been really, really inspiring. If people want to come along and sort of see some of your content, Gavin, where would they go? What sites?
They go to fenews.co.uk or to FE Careers, which is our job board. One thing I would say is, you know, I'm a guy from North London who, you know, was the first guy in his family to do a degree. I was told I shouldn't do my retakes. I shouldn't do A-levels. People like me don't go to university. You can do it, you know, just go for it. Just do something you love. If I can do it, and I'm just an average person, you guys can certainly do it. You know, just go out there and just go for it. Be exceptional. I was told I could be an astronaut if I wanted. I'm telling you now, you could be too. And you could definitely be a digital guru. Just go for it. All you got to do is just give it a go.
And just finally, do you feel that people need to go to university to be able to pursue this?
No, not at all. There wasn't a very strong apprenticeship route when I was at school. I'd have really benefited from a you know, working in industry, really hands-on doing it. I couldn't afford to do an internship, yeah, which is a free, yeah, working for free for someone. I couldn't do it. You know, the apprenticeship route, yeah, you can now have, you know, degree apprenticeships. You can now go into, you know, coming into master's levels apprenticeships, you know, and your industry experience, you're qualified, you're competent, and you're delivering exactly what an employer wants. You know, if that route would have been there, that's the route I would have gone when I was younger, if I would have known about it. And I think, you know, there's such a lot of scope. What we've got to do is get that experience and be creative, express yourself. You know, people will like it.
Gavin, thank you so much. Really inspiring, so impressive what you've done. Really look forward to that future script and that play or that film. But for now, thank you very much.
Thank you.